This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what? I've got one of your...
Now the legendary...
Central Alumni Hall of Fame.
The most celebrated Central Catholic boy I've ever known. Graduated with Bernie Rafferty and a whole bunch of Greenfield guys.
Bill Hillgrove is visible on the radio. And you can go to our live stream at kdkradio.com and check him out. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. You know, Bernie Rafferty was our class president.
Was he? I didn't know that, Bill. I never knew that.
Oh, hey, he's a celebrity in his own right.
You know what? Every time I see him, he says, Michael, do you ever run into Bill Hillgrove? And I said, every once in a while, yeah. He loves you. You guys had a really close class.
Yeah, we did. And I think to that point, 2 years ago, we had our, 65th reunion?
Wow.
We had 33 guys show up for the stag event at Central Catholic.
That's
and
a
then,
great turnout.
You know, dinner the next night, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
Well, Bill, I know you love hoops. Heartbreaker for St. Francis the other night, did that the way it ended, where yeah. Game was tied and just threw it up, and Alabama State was able to come up with a ball in 0.7 seconds and score a bank shot in to win. And now we have Robert Morris playing Alabama tomorrow afternoon. So let's talk about March Madness. Are you somebody that fills out a bracket, or do you just talk to people about hoops?
Larry, you know as well as anybody that I picked the Germans in both world wars. For me to fill out a bracket, I think, is probably it's an exercise in futility. But I enjoy it, and I agree with those who think Duke has a good chance to go all the way because I saw them firsthand.
Oh.
And in that game down at Cameron Indoor Stadium against Pitt, Cooper Flagg played point guard the whole second half. Now, here's a 6'10 freshman with the ability to pass the ball as well as he does out at the point. And defensively, that's the best team I've ever seen, defensively. And, you know, okay, I don't know if Flagg's going to play in the first game. They probably don't need him. But then beyond that, they're poised to make a run. I saw a little TV this morning where Wally Szczerbiak said, the only question about Duke is their experience because three of their starters are freshmen. But you know what? At this stage of the game, they're no longer freshmen. And they scored the last 18 points against Pitt. I've never seen a team do that.
And how about Rick Pitino reinventing himself and
Isn't
getting St. John's in the tournament?
Yeah, and they could make a run. They could make a run all the way to the Final Four. You know, they're well coached, obviously. You know, they're relentless. That's Pitino basketball. And, you know, I really think he's to be given a tip of the hat for what he's done with that program.
They've crushed my alma mater twice in the last couple games.
Marquette.
Marquette. And you know, hey, Bill, you know, I told Larry this morning that the big dance was coined by Al McGuire. You remember him? 1977 was that. And speaking of Central Catholic, I went to Marquette with Mark Murata because he was like, Bartz, come on, you have to come there with me. And it was a blast. Doc Rivers was on that team. But, Bill, I want to ask you about Robert Morris. Everyone's excited. Listen, they call it madness for a reason. They could win, but I know it's a long shot, but what the heck?
Well, I mean, the history tells you that they can win when 16s can upset number one seeds. It didn't happen until a few years ago against Virginia, but it's possible. So, you know, if you're a low seed, it doesn't mean anything. You still have to end up playing and showing up. And a lot of the times, you know, some teams will say, oh, we're going to play a 14 or 15 or 16 seed, and they take that attitude, then all of a sudden they get punched in the mouth. And so that's the magic, and that's the madness of March.
How about this, Bill? We had a story that they estimate 40% of people will call off today and tomorrow to start watching, and then 23% of people that do show up are now watching games either on their computer or on their phone, and productivity goes down the chute for the next 2 days.
Yeah, you know, I talk to a lot of sports fans, and I don't follow college basketball till March.
Until now. You
know? Wow, yeah.
Yeah, and it is what it is, and it's a beautiful thing, and I don't think they should tamper with it. I think 68 with the, you know, the so-called play-in games in Dayton, I think it works. But, you know, there's always going to be a call. What about this? What about that? You know, a lot of furor over North Carolina being included in the tournament. Well, I think they probably proved to a few people with that opening round win and a convincing one that, you know, they're as good as anybody else. And we know this. The Blue Bloods break ties. So if, for instance, West Virginia is tied with North Carolina in the eyes of the committee, well, guess who gets the bid? And I know their AD is getting a bonus, and he was the head of the committee, and all those political things. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, the ACC is not as bad as people think it is. It's just that, you know, it's gone through a period of time of adjustment. And, you know, and I think that adjustment is related to NIL. All the best players through the portal and, you know, and involving NIL are playing in March.
All right, let's shift gears for a second, Bill. The quarterback issue with the Steelers. So we know Mason Rudolph's back. The wait for Aaron Rodgers may be over. They have to move forward. Now we're hearing possibility of Kirk Cousins out of Atlanta or maybe Will Levis from Tennessee. What do you expect the Steelers to do? It sounds like Aaron's dragging his feet.
I think Aaron's got one foot in retirement. That's just my opinion. And at 41, maybe it is time. I just don't see the Steelers going that way, but I know they're in line. But when it all settles, all the dust settles, hey, it could be Mason Rudolph. And I don't have a problem with that. Now, a lot of fans are going to say, well, wait a minute, you could have Kirk Cousins. You could. Well, no guarantees with a free agent coming in and embracing the system and being able to contribute right away. So I don't know. I'm okay with Mason.
All right. Before you go, Bill, when's the next big Central? When do you guys do this, Michael? You have the annual.
Oh, we have that coming up. And you know what it is? It's the, it's April something. I can't remember now, but it's to honor all the teachers over the years. I just got the invitation.
Yeah, I think it's the 30th, right?
The 30th. Maybe it is the 30th. I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, and it's always a great time.
It is.
You know, some of those prizes, like last year, you got to play around at Laurel Valley with Neil Shipley.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
How about that?
Yeah, that's something.
How many schools can boast a prize like that?
Can you? Exactly.
And you know what I feel bad about? Because I offered my alumni at North Allegheny that I'd play nine at North Park with them, but it didn't go for him anything. All right, Bill, before you go, you have a special event May 10th. That's Saturday, May 10th, at a beautiful golf course called Champion Lakes.
Looking forward to it. My primary duty is to line up the celebrities, and Larry, I know you're going to be one, and a lot of guys at, KD and a fan bunch of stations are going to be up there, and I'm hoping to get more commitments for more celebrities, but I will tell you this, it'll sell out fast. It's not there yet, but if anybody's thinking about getting a foursome into the field, I think they should go now. You know, we did for a couple of years have two shotguns, a morning and an afternoon.
That was crazy.
Well, so many celebrities and so many golfers wanted to play in the morning that we had trouble filling the afternoon. And what happens with the committee is that we do twice as much work and get maybe a 20 to 30% return. You know, it's just not worth it. Hmm. So we do it with one 10 o'clock shotgun, and when it fills up, it fills up.
All right, Bill. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
See you, Bill.
Always great to talk to you guys. Have a good one.
You too.
The great Bill Hillgrove. Love him, man.
Love him.
I've Me enjoyed too. When I first went to WTAE-TV.
Yeah.
He was there with the front four. So it was Bill Hillgrove. He was sports director. Uh-huh. He had Myron Cohen, Stan Savran, John Steigerwald. They called them the front four.
Wow.
Growing up in this town, you get to meet Bill, and then you realize he is just a down-to-earth.
He's a down-to-earth Pittsburgh nice guy. No doubt about it.
Storm Center brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Butler Transit Authority in McVeigh. Plumbing and heating. Larry Richard with Michael Bartley.
Hi, Larry Richard.
How are you?
I'm okay. I love Bill Hillgrove. Isn't he wonderful?
Yeah, I enjoy our conversations with Bill. He's, now that he's just focused on the off season, because basketball for Pitt is over, and spring drills have already started. They're in their second week now for the football team. And you got a new season.
Yeah.
So he can be a fan. And since he's no longer the play-by-play voice of the Steelers after 30 seasons.
Yeah, he can relax a little bit.
He kind of like, he can be a little freer with what he says, mm-hmm. I would imagine.
I would think so, too. Yeah, I think so.
But he's always been very fair.
He's and very fair and very forward and very direct. Always. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up that West Virginia thing suing the NCAA. And how about his answer that the Blue Bloods would get the advantage? Blue Bloods meaning the Dukes, the North Carolinas, right. They're the Blue Bloods. Yeah.
I don't know what suing them's going to get them.
I don't know. But yeah. I guess I was surprised to see that. I was.
So, how about this?
Yeah.
March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
Have you filled out a bracket? We ask you that question. What about the rest of America?
Almost half of all Americans fill out a bracket or two or three in hopes of pulling in some cash. According to a survey by Talker Research, on average, we're spending nearly $120 trying to guess all the W's during the NCAA tournament. But it's the millennials who are forking out the most. They spend about $205 on their brackets. Gen Zers put up about $199. The baby boomers are the most conservative with their tournament gambling, spending just under $40.
How about that?
Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
We're the baby boomers, right? Yeah.
Still.
I am.
We're in the back edge.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but that's a staggering number.
That's a staggering number. But you know what? I wonder, is that, well.
Nearly half of America. You can't get half of America to do almost anything.
I know. I'm nearly half of America.
And to Bill Hillgrove's point when he said, a lot of people don't follow closely college basketball. Maybe one team.
They don't.
And then when it gets to...
They follow their alma mater, probably. Right. If you went to Pitt, you follow the Panthers, and you watch Hillgrove the whole time and all that type stuff, you know, and that concludes football, too. But once we get to this nitty-gritty, the brackets, on last Sunday, then here we go. It's insanely popular.
100%.
Yeah.
Who'd you pick, Duke?
No. I picked St. John's. I tell you, I just...
You're just saying that because you're Catholic.
No. No. I watched them in the Big East, and listen, I think basketball is sort of momentum like football. You know, like in football, when you peak at the end, mid-December.
Now's the time to peak.
Yeah, now's the time to peak.
Yeah, it all starts today. So what do you have till noon to fill out your bracket?
And that's it. And if you didn't do it, you got to do it now.
Is that legal? This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Michael Bartley this morning.
Good morning, all.
so many different news angles, and we've been covering what we now know will be a big change with the Department of Education, Social Security changes, and the list goes on.
And we, the big international story, of course, is the Israeli Hamas ceasefire has collapsed. That's, you know, and this morning, our senior senator, Senator John Fetterman, says, quote unquote, Hamas does not want peace. He's demanding the hostages be released. And joining us now, the expert on the Middle East, University of Pittsburgh, Graduate School of Public and International Affairs at the University of Pittsburgh. We love talking to her, Dr. Jennifer Brick Murtazashvili. Dr. Murtazashvili, good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you make of the ceasefire collapsing? How big of a deal is this? And should the whole international community be concerned?
So, you know, unfortunately, this collapse is not entirely unexpected. What we saw with the release of those hostages, you know, over the course of several weeks was phase one of a negotiated ceasefire. And, you know, phase one, it was a hard thing to get to. You recall those hostages started coming out. The days before President Trump came to office, I think he put a lot of pressure on both Hamas and the Israeli government to come to an agreement. And we saw those hostages come flooding out along with a prisoner exchange. But we all knew that phase two would be much harder. And I think a lot of us didn't anticipate that it would fall apart. Number one, that was the Biden administration that really negotiated that first ceasefire. And number two, it was really unclear what would happen after phase one. The Israelis have said, you know, release half of the remaining hostages for an extension of the ceasefire, and Hamas said no. So here we are.
So what happens now?
So I think what happens now is we're going to see, unfortunately, the Israeli government is going to put an extraordinary amount of military pressure on Hamas. It seems to be, unfortunately, one of the only things that they really respond to. This will probably lead to new negotiations coming up. But I think without this resumption of hostilities, that Hamas will not be forced to the negotiating table.
Whatever happened.
I'm hoping that this... Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jennifer.
I'm just hoping that this period doesn't last too long, you know, both for the people of Gaza, for the hostages that remain, and, you know, also for the people of Israel, because last night Hamas began firing rockets back into Israel. We hadn't seen that in quite a while, and that does... that is quite an escalation.
That said, whatever happened to the idea that President Trump floated about taking over Gaza?
I mean, we were all really surprised to hear that. My interpretation of what that was really putting pressure on governments of the Middle East, countries in the region who really hadn't come to a kind of agreement about what they would do to rebuild Gaza. And, you know, your listeners may or may not be aware, but, you know, when there's wars, typically people from those countries are allowed to leave the country, escape the war zone. The people of Gaza have not been able to do that. So you remember the war in Ukraine began, and we began to see refugees flood out of Ukraine. Here, even to the United States, all over Europe, the situation with the Palestinians is such that, you know, neighboring Egypt will not let the Gazans out of the country, and they remain. And so one of the things that I think President Trump was trying to do was put pressure on Arab states to say, hey, let these Gazans out. They have been kept in this region in Gaza, as part of this historic Israel-Palestine conflict. And the idea is that they should remain there. They can't be displaced ever because of the historic nature of that conflict. So that was really pressure, I think, being put by President Trump on those other countries to say, hey, let these people out. let's rebuild the region. I'm not entirely sure he meant that he wanted to take over Gaza as, you know, the 52nd state. But I think that was really an effort by him to get a concrete plan for reconstruction. And what happened in the days after that is that there was a plan put forward by the Egyptians, right? The neighboring Egyptian state, and a lot of Arab countries came together in Egypt to discuss a reconstruction plan. And so those plans remain ongoing. So what Trump did in those statements was really kickstart some of those discussions.
Does this mean that we're going to see an uptick again in protests on your campus and campuses around the country? I got to tell you that, and I'm going to be perfectly honest, and this is my own opinion, but, you know, this some of these initiatives trying to get the city of Pittsburgh to divest in Israel, and affecting robotics at Carnegie Mellon, all that type of stuff, really gets under my skin, and I think it's anti-Semitic. I do, but I'm not protests are fine on campus, but are we going to see this conflict heating up again?
Absolutely, and you know, I just agree with you. I think it's completely anti-Semitic to see this, and it's classbook.
Did you say you agree with me or disagree with me?
Absolutely agree with you.
Thank you.
It's textbook anti-Semitism.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Yes, and I tell you, as someone who grew up a Tree of Life, it's really heartbreaking to see the hatred in our city right now, and especially among some of the young people on our campuses. And I tell you, as a Pitt professor, it's been really heartbreaking to watch this. Things I never thought I'd see in my lifetime, seeing some of the things that our students have experienced. You know, that has been really heartbreaking.
That are said about Jewish Americans.
Of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, why is it anti-Semitic? Because you single out Israel. You know, I've worked years in the Middle East, Central Asia, Afghanistan. There was a genocide. President Biden talked about the genocide of the Uyghurs in China. I haven't seen any protests against China on our campus for that. That's the classic double standard that is the definition of anti-Semitism.
I'm with you.
Professor, thank you, and we'll pray for better outcomes, but we're back to it again.
For all people.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
All people, right? I mean, Jewish, Muslim, regardless, there's a real opportunity. I just hope that we can get through this period, you know, both in the Middle East and here domestically, into better days.
Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Doc. Thanks so much.
Anytime. Take care.
Dr. Jennifer Mirtazavili, who's professor at University of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Her resume is, as you heard her, she's traveled all over the world and spent a lot of time in
these
places.
One of the foremost experts in the country.
Light News Desk. President Trump expected to sign today another executive order to begin dismantling another federal agency.
Trump's made it no secret for a number of years now, especially through the campaign, that he wanted to get rid of the U.S. Department of Ed.
So what does that really mean to all of us here? Pittsburgh Public Schools, all the private schools, we're not sure exactly how that'll trickle down.
We have to see how that plays out.
The big dance starts today, gentlemen, 12:15, with a pair of games.
Experts predict as many as 40% of the workforce will be calling off sick today and tomorrow. 23% of those who do show up for work will be spending an average of 4 hours watching games.
at work.
Productivity down the chute.
You got that right.
And everyone in Pittsburgh is going to be watching Robert Morris tonight.
Bartley's guaranteeing St. John's going to win it all.
I don't know. We'll see.
And there's a change in the weather. You're watching it happen right now.
As the storm system moves east, we will be seeing this storm system now bring the potential for some rain to the northeast. And then late tonight into early Friday, could actually see a bit of backside snow.
You know it hit 80 yesterday, lady.
And at the same time in Iowa, blizzard warnings.
And did you see tornadoes in that mix, too?
It was crazy.
So you got snow, thunder, snow,
yep.
And tornadoes.
It was crazy.
All mixed into one. That's what folks are talking about. Thank you, Paul.